fighting for America.
There's been 23 months since then when all you've been doing is flapping your mouth and not doing anything. So listen, you want to have the conversation later, I'm happy to have it, buddy. But until that time, sit down and shut up.
Fighting for Idaho.
You got to make sure Allison's got the ball at the end of the game by hitting every single solitary soul you know to go and vote and have a victory. Thank you. God bless you.
Fighting for you.
If you got it, Paul, or you thought you had it,
I would start playing that song by Queen. Goodbye, everybody.
Voices, Mr. Right.
I've got to go.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Governor Otter with us here. And I think you're more fired up than your humble host here after that big night last night.
Now, that was a great night.
It was.
I think it was a great way to wrap up what has been a very energetic campaign all across the board.
Right.
Primary and general both.
Now, I was looking forward to this because I wanted to ask you something that hopefully you haven't heard anywhere else. And it's not one of these gotcha questions. It is... regardless of what happens, this is it for you. This is your last campaign.
This is it. This is it. I'm done.
And your thoughts, and I already know this because you're already in the mode. Yeah. You ever think back on your years of service in the state and your endless campaigns?
Kevin, I really don't. My life is, I've been richly blessed in my life with some great jobs. And the 30 years I spent with Simplot was a tremendous opportunity, experience, learning. Gosh, running around the world, the globe, to 82 different countries and setting up shop for the Simplot company to work its magic like it does in most of these markets. And then being able to, governor's job is part-time, and that's why you're allowed a full-time job otherwise. So my first real full-time job was when I was elected to the 106th Congress.
Right.
In 2000, the millennium class. And that wasn't one of my most enjoyable experiences, the 6 years that I spent in Congress. I was ready to come home. I win, lose, or draw, I was ready to come home, and I'd made that known right after the 05 election. And so I got the chance to come home, become governor.
Right.
And I've, once again, richly blessed, a great job.
You know, we've all changed. Age does a magical thing to us, Governor. And, you know, you go back to your thoughts about getting into politics, that a little younger Butch Otter than right. What you have today. Would you change anything as far as your belief in the system, your belief in the people, you working on things that you don't have to do?
No, Kevin, when I look back, what got me into politics really was I wanted to see limited government, personal responsibility, strength in the family. Because the family, the strength in the home is really the foundation of a good, strong, free government. And so when I first went into the legislature and I was only there two terms, that's really what myself and many of my colleagues focused on is how do we keep people free? How do we keep the government out of people's lives, trying to make decisions for them that really atrophy their ability to make decisions for themselves? And I was disappointed after 4 years. I thought, maybe I'm not part of the solution. Maybe I'm part of the problem because state government kept growing. So I got clear out of politics for 10 years. And then as the lieutenant governor's job opened up, and I had a lot of world experience in terms of markets around the world, I felt that other than just selling French fries and beefsteaks, I could probably sell about everything Idaho has.
Governor, we could go on and on about that here, but I've got a couple questions, then you never back down. We'll take phone calls at 580-5436, but I remember in Tampa we had a gay rights activist come up to you and attack you for defending the family, and you don't talk about these things, and, you know, people have, you know, trying to make a big deal out of you defending traditional marriage, you defending the rights of the people. Can you take this opportunity now, A, to tell us why, and B, again, I just want to thank you because there are so many people that if they disagree with you, they attack you personally, and I'm thinking you can disagree with people on issues, but especially this one is such a tinderbox.
Yeah, and that's one of the most surprising things. Usually, those people are frustrated. and they're not absolutely sure of their position. But all we need to do is take a look at the Idaho Constitution.
Right.
And the Idaho Constitution, and the recently adopted, in fact, 2006, amendment to our Constitution, defined our values. And they defined our values for us. And those that want to define marriage in Idaho in a different way, you know, as long as they don't infringe upon Article 3, Section 28 of the Constitution, they can do it any way they want. And know that civilly they can. But it just seems like it's not enough of in your face. And when I heard about the Hitchin Post up in northern Idaho, you know, that was one of the fears that we had had when we were considering the religious freedom. And we do have religious freedom in Idaho. So how do we grant this broad spectrum of definition on marriage to beyond what Article 3, Section 28 of the Constitution says, and not infringe upon personal's faith and infringe upon their belief? We struggle with that all the time, and I'm confident that we'll struggle with that in legislative sessions to come.
Right, and you know, you brought that up where you have, what was it, 4 or 6 individuals overturn the will of the people in the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, that seems to get lost in the politically correct pandering, but, I mean, 4 people overturn the will of the people.
You know, when you take a look at all of the debates that we've had and all the panelists in those debates that
we've
had.
Did you miss Harley last night, by the way?
Pardon me?
Did you miss Harley last night?
You know, we talked a little bit about Harley before it began. I'm not going to say that anybody expressed a fondness for his being there, but Harley's an engaging guy. You don't have to worry about where he's coming from.
Right.
You know exactly where he's coming from. But what I was going to say is that if all the debates that we've gone through and the panelists that we've gone through, the editorial boards that I have gone before and been interviewed, all of that, if there was an attack on freedom of the press, they would be cheering me.
Right.
Those same people that are now questioning whether $90,000 is too much money to defend our Constitution. Well, these are the folks that they know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And there is great value in that. And I don't know that I can put a price on it. In fact, my opponent, if he had to pay sales tax on just the money that he's put into his own campaign, I'd still have another $100,000 to spend on defending that.
Right.
On the sales tax alone. But yet, so that's more valuable than our Constitution? Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that a person in Idaho wants to be a public servant in the state of Idaho and feels that the difference between cost and value.
We go to the phones. Governor, your friend Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance here at 580KIDO. Greg, good to have you with us. How goes it, brother?
Morning, Kevin. Good morning, Governor. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Good morning, Greg.
I think we're all ready for the election to be over, quite honestly.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth.
So I got one quick question. We've got Mr. Buzhak and Mr. Belukov to answer this question so far, and a lot of our people that we represent at the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance want to know where you stand on constitutional carry. And if you're not familiar with that, I can explain what it is, but I think you do know what it is.
Well, yeah, I fully understand constitutional carry. Greg, I don't have a problem with it. We have those exceptions that we've already put in place with spousal abuse, with previous crimes. When people have misused their constitutional carry right, we have a responsibility for public safety, and we have a responsibility to the rest of the community to say we got to put a limit on this. And so other than that, Greg, I don't know how else to answer your question except I believe in constitutional carry with the exceptions that I've already stated.
Okay. So we just wanted to make sure that, you know, that bill hits your desk this next session and you're on board with it.
I'm always reluctant to say what I'm going to do with a bill because you never know what the final wording's going to be. But listen, if it's a pure constitutional carry, what are we just saying? We're saying that a well-regulated militia being right. necessary for the defense of a free state, the right of the citizens to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's pretty simple.
you can carry your firearm without the, minus those exceptions, obviously. But if you can purchase legally own a firearm, you can carry it concealed without the mandatory permit.
Greg, thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. You know, we could talk about education, but I think that's been like 90% of your debate stuff has been education. But your opponents and a lot of folks have attacked you for cutting education. Dave Burnett and I were going back and forth and saying, you know, really, where have you cut education? I don't think you've cut it. I think you've held the line during the recession.
Kevin, we did cut back on education, K-12. And higher education more, percentage-wise, more. What we didn't do was we really didn't significantly drop the amount of money that's coming out of the general fund percentage-wise toward education. So we still had 48, through all that, we still had 48, 49, 50, 51% of all the general revenue monies that were going for K-12. And that had been the case, way back since time began in Idaho. We've always worked hard and sincerely trying to cover and obey the constitutional mandate of a free, uniform, and thorough common system of public schools. But because of Idaho's rural nature, because of the difference in valuations of property, you know, Blaine County, Sun Valley, one of the richest districts. Why? Well, because they got a lot of very, very expensive homes up there per capita, but no kids to go into the school. So they've got a lot of revenue with very little impact, personnel impact on that. Boise's much bigger in terms of revenues, and then there's some other unique things. And so if we were going to, as it has been suggested, especially by my 16-year board member opponent in this race, that we need to have a equality amongst them all, then they've got to give up a very special position that the independent school district holds, because it predates the Constitution.
Wow.
So if you can't have it both ways. On the one hand, he's saying the Constitution demands equality, and then on the other hand, he says, but geez, I don't want to give up the position that the independent school district and Lewiston and Jim County hold. Now that was the constitutional provision for them, but that alone makes them unequal and not uniform.
Right.
And so that's why here we have the Boise Public School District that Blukoff is chairman of, with 11,000 fewer students and a budget millions upon millions more than the Meridian School District sitting right next to him. So 11,000 fewer students than Meridian, but millions of dollars more in expenditures.
Governor Butch Otter with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Governor, 4 years from now, if you're reelected, and gosh knows if Kevin Miller still has a job here, you know how broadcasting is. It's like politics, in the day, out tomorrow. What would you see as we're winding up your third term? What would that look like?
Number one, we would have 60%+ of all of the folks in Idaho between the ages of 25 and 34 that would have some kind of a post-education secondary degree certification or professional license. So in other words, after they finished high school, they went on to the College of Western Idaho, College of Southern Idaho. They went on to a community college and got a welding degree or got a nurse's degree or got something beyond the high school years. And that's a goal that the state board set several years ago, and I'm totally behind it. And that's why the 20 recommendations that came out of the task force was made up of all the stakeholders in education. That's why they've decided here's how we can accomplish that. So what I'm saying is that we would have a well-educated, highly motivated workforce that business and industry in the state of Idaho would say, we're going to stay right here and grow, as Idaho companies are already doing. And new companies would be coming in. We just got Amy's Kitchen down in Pocatello, and SkyWest is now putting in a anchor position right here at the Gowan Field, announcement of a software company yesterday, almost doubling the size of its employment up in Sandpoint, Idaho. So all of those things would tell me that we had anybody that wanted a professional position. There was a position available because the capital had come to Idaho and was seeking for employees. So anybody that wanted to work could go to work.
What would you do after your road, though? What would you do when, in fact, your 4 years were done? I mean, I can't see you slowing down any...
Well, no, I wouldn't intend to. There's Miss Laurie and I've talked quite a little bit about that. In fact, we've talked about that almost every 4 years.
Right.
You know, what happens if? And we've got some ideas. Now the further we get, or the closer we get to finity, the closer we get to the defined end. You know, I suspect that those conversations will be a little bit more robust and probably a little bit more sincere and penetrative as far as what we actually can do.
You take over the Merc?
Pardon me?
You take over the Merc?
The Merc in downtown Star?
Yeah.
The Star Mall?
Yeah, would you take over?
I call it the Star Mall. No, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, we still got the nice ranch there. We're just right across the ditch from each other.
Yes.
And, you know, it's pretty easy to see your house from leaning on my shovel.
More coming up with Governor Otter next at 580KIDO.
The D&B Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580KIDO, Governor Otter with us as we move along. We'll go to Bill and Caldwell in a minute. But, Governor, a chance for you to address your critics head on that have been very vocal during the primary and during the campaign. Anything you'd like to say to people that may doubt your sincerity?
Well, no, not really, Kevin. I think my record speaks for itself. The years that I've spent working for the people of the state of Idaho, working to defend the Constitution, the family, freedom, in all those cases, I think that's always been my top priority, and I know that that's always been my top priority in whatever capacity that I've been in, and it's going to continue to be my future efforts. I would love to see, you know, you asked the question in the earlier part about what do I want to see in 4 years. I want to see a free Idaho. I want to see the rest of the 49 states looking to Idaho and saying, what is this in Idaho? What's going on in Idaho? And if they look at that and they say, you know, it's the strength in the home. It's their belief in faith and family, and freedom and personal responsibility. That could be the greatest legacy ever left to not only the state of Idaho, but any nation as a whole.
We go to the phones. Let me ask you the presidential question. You're not going to run regardless. You're not running for the presidency, you know. Your name comes up quite a bit.
No, that's not going to happen.
Remember that your name came up quite a bit in 08 and 12.
Yeah, well, God bless him and thank you. That's a great salute, but
right,
that's not in my future.
Okay. We go to Bill and Caldwell for Governor Otter at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin Miller and Governor Otter.
Good morning, Bill.
You know, I just wanted to call Governor to tell you thank you for a job well done and to encourage you that...
That voice sounds familiar, doesn't it?
All the people I run with think you're a pretty good governor. And, you know, when you look at the economic recovery here in Idaho compared to the rest of the United States, there's only a couple states that have done any better, and they usually are bigger states with more resources. But I know that as you get another term here and get more businesses into Idaho, we'll have more revenue and things will pick up for everybody and life will be a lot better. But your last comment it just rings so true and loud in my ear that we are free, that we're prosperity-based state, that we are a family-oriented state, and you're leading the way on that for the last 8, and I'm going to be happy to vote for you again.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it very much.
God bless you, Bill. That would have been
a great ad.
I know.
Did Ray copy that?
Ray's
take
got
that?
It. Ray's All on right. it. Yes, Ray's on it. Well, between Ray and your friend, our political correspondent Dustin Cook, you know, we've got a lot of political heavyweights here in the building.
Yeah.
Indeed. So as we bear down here at 580KIDO, let's talk a little bit about the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Are you united? You ready to go?
Oh, I believe so. You know, people just love, and when I say people, I may, perhaps I should focus a little bit more on the on some of the media, that whenever they see a little disruption in the Republican Party, you know, they kind of stand around and wringing their hands and saying, whoa, this is the end of the Republican Party in Idaho. But quite frankly, for as long as I have been on the ballot, I would tell you there's always been a difference in the Republican, just some minor differences in the Republican Party. But we're also a Reagan, Ronald Reagan state.
Right.
And, you know, those people that we disagree with 20% of the time, not our enemy. Because we agree 80% of the time. And most important, we agree on the important stuff. Limited government. The foundation of our republic, the Constitution. Those are the things that we hold near and dear. So all the other disagreements pale in comparison to our championship for the home and our championship for the Constitution and our championship for personal responsibility. So, yeah, we're going to have differences. That's where all the excitement is. If you just take a look at the primary ballots,
right,
between the Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, Constitutionalists, you know, you'll see one name in most of those other columns. But on the Republican column, you're going to see lots of names, whether it's for a House seat or the governorship, any other constitutional office. There's always people saying, you know, I differ a little bit with you on this, on the basic things we agree on. And so I'm going to take my shot at, and we invite that in the Republican Party. We invite that civil discourse. And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy not only for the one that wins the nod from the party to go forward as the candidate and the champion for that office, but I think it's also healthy for the entire political system.
Final call. It's a good one. Liberal Steve joins us at 580-KIDO. Now, Liberal Steve, do you want me to give the disclaimer here, or are you going to be a good Liberal Steve today?
Oh, come on, Mr. Miller. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
It was nice meeting you at the breakfast there.
Now, okay, you know? Since you met the you brought up the breakfast, you told the governor at the breakfast that he was going to win, and then when we had Mr. Blukoff on, you told him he was going to win. So which is it?
Let's back up, Mr. Miller. I told the governor that he would beat Fulcher.
Right.
Okay. Right now, I think it's a draw. But here's my question, two questions. Governor Otter, having been governor for two terms,
mm-hmm.
how many outside countries, outside the United States, own businesses in Idaho, and how many people do they employ? That's my first question. And my second question is, you're just 10 years, 2 months older than me. When you have your 73rd birthday, are you going to invite me?
Oh, my goodness.
On the latter part, I quit celebrating birthdays. But I could invite you to one of my grandkids' birthday parties.
You could invite
him to celebrate there.
You could invite him to trick or treat tonight.
Yeah, come to the Capitol.
Celebration.
Come to the Capitol tonight, Steve, and I'll give you a Tootsie Roll. listen, and your first question, I'm going to say there's 18 foreign countries or companies that actually own an operation in Idaho. How many employees they have, I can't tell you. But when the big, when there was that article, that expose in the Statesman newspaper about China buying up 55,000 acres or whatever it was, and, you know, there was a big, big blow up about that. That was all disinformation.
We know nothing about that. We have nothing to do with that.
Good, because it never happened.
Right.
In fact, I don't think we got 50,000 acres out here that isn't private property, or government property. And we're not free to sell it anyway. So, Steve, I would tell you, I think there's about 18, I could be wrong, but I think there's 18 foreign companies that own, that have equity in Idaho. And I can't tell you how many employees they have. But I can tell you there's over 44,000 small companies in Idaho that are Idaho-owned. And there's more companies coming because Idaho was voted the second best place to start a brand-new business.
Governor, you know, it's strange here at 580-KIDO. I think I'm much more sentimental about this than you are. But closing thoughts here.
Well, there's a lot of work to do in the next 4 years. And so there, the sentimentality obviously will have its time and its day. But I've always been pretty confident when I'm making the shift. When I left Congress, there were a lot of my friends that came around. I got to know them very well, and we worked together on stuff. And they'd come around and they'd say, "Well, we're going to miss you," and I do miss them. But I'm looking for bigger and better things as they come, and maybe a new role to play. And you asked me the question earlier. One of the things that Miss Laurie and I've talked about is Catholic Charities.
Yes,
has a tremendous foreign presence and a real gift to people around the world. And one of the things that we have talked a little bit about is that maybe we would take a year or two and I did a lot of work with Catholic Charities in Africa when I was with the Simplot Company, actually Kenya, Africa, north eastern Africa, and it was great. It made me feel good. It was good for both sides. So who knows? I just know that as long as I've got the energy, I'm going to be doing something.
Governor, good luck to you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
I got something to throw out to everybody. Kevin Miller for governor. There we go. The only man on radio that tells the truth.
Earning your trust every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, before we find out about gas prices and Halloween safety, we go to Idaho Steve at 580 KIDO with an election prediction. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How have you been?
Well, we've missed you. I know you've been very busy.
I appreciate it. Well, I've been able to catch you every morning, and you've had a nice slew of interviews, including the one you just had. Hats off to you, my friend. Hats off.
Well, as you and I have talked, sometimes we lose fact that these folks are people, and they have families,
yep.
And as you know, the great sacrifice involved in public service and campaigning.
That's true. That's true. And I always make the argument that at the end of the day, if you beat up on a politician too much, you're kind of starting to beat up on those people that voted for him. You gotta put a basic respect in there for the folks that voted for him, respect the process too. So you hit it on the head. It's arduous. It takes a lot of work and yes, a lot of money, a lot of time away from family. Yep.
Indeed. So how do you see this playing out?
Well, I think he's going to do it, but I think it's going to be very close. AJ's making a surge, but I would argue it's not going to hold. And I think it's not going to hold, Kevin, because a lot of the rural counties are going to look. They're going to default Republican, and Otter's got that name recognition. We saw a little bit of that in the Fulcher campaign. I think that's going to be the thing that'll hold Otter for the win, but I think it's going to be narrower than a lot of people expect, and I also think the most important is a depressed turnout. It's going to be a very low amount of voters.
And that would favor the governor, but if you have folks that have been, that have been disenfranchised in their minds, have Mr. Bujak, who's directly appealed to your folks.
That's right, and Bujak will get some of the gain from that, but it just won't be enough. But he will get some of the gain from it. But at the end of the day, there's enough of that Republican registration that's going to keep Otter in. But yeah, that's going to be an ongoing problem. And when the governor made that argument that on the basic things Republicans agree that we agree on the basic things, he's right. The problem is, he did violate some of those basic things, and that's what's going to cause that depressed voter turnout. It's not a criticism of him per se. It's just that's going to be your voting result. But I do think at the end of the day, he's still going to win.
How do you see the Ibarra race and the Denny race?
Oh, yeah, I think Denny will do fine. He's really been rock solid. He has paid attention to where things are going in the voters' minds. That one, I think, is going to be a rock solid. And then he benefits from registration, too. But he's really been a good campaigner in that he's held with where the voters are going. He didn't go too far Tea Party. He really held solid, rock solid conservative, good Republican. Ybarra and Jones, boy, that is an interesting one because I've seen both of them. I'm going to have to do a coin toss. I guess Ybarra, but I tell you, Jones has got a compelling argument that she makes when it comes to the competence of the office. That's where Ybarra is really pretty weak. So I'm toss up on that. Maybe Ybarra will do it on registration, but I don't know. I'm toss up.
As always, Idaho Steve, we appreciate it. We need to get you back on.
You got it. Anytime, my friend.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Our great friend, Idaho Steve at 580KIDO. Dave Carlson joining us from AAA Idaho with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Any thoughts on the election?
Well, I thought the governor just made a good showing for himself in the conversation over your airways this morning. I thought he did a fine job. Watch the debate last night, and I thought that was a very colorful exchange, and I'll leave it at that.
Look, whether you agree with the governor or not, he made it. Everybody else is kind of monotone. He was they call it jumping out at the screen at you.
Yeah, he was. And I've known the governor for going back to 1990. I've had some relationship with him and some of these advocacy issues that AAA works on. So never cut that fellow short on anything. He's done a very good job over the years.
And win or lose, you'll never outwork him.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll never outwork him. All right, so let's talk a little bit about trick-or-treat safety this evening. A lot of us maybe take that for granted, but there's going to be a lot of little ghouls and goblins out.
Yeah, it's a message that we sort of get out there once a year because when we look at the crash stats for the country, actually this is like the most dangerous night of the year for pedestrians, especially as alcohol is involved with some of the older party goers. So it's a message that never gets old, and it's one that we like to deliver each year.
In addition to that, we're going to have people with these crazy Halloween parties late at night. Any safety tips to look out for the trick-or-treaters? Because as we know, well, it's not even light out yet.
Yeah, if we were talking to a bunch of kids and we said what would be the things that could keep you safe, they would be probably the quickest to say, well, should we have the right kind of costumes on so we can see what's going on, and should we wear bright colors so motorists can see us, and they'd probably give the same tips that we have. But essentially we say things like be bright at night. That means wear a costume that can be seen. Be able to see what's going on around you, walk on the sidewalks and cross at the corners, look both ways. Those are pretty sensible tips. But when we're talking to motorists, we say, well, remember that these are kids. They do things that kids do, and it's quite likely that they're going to be where you don't expect them to be. So bottom line, two tips, see and be seen. And if you can figure that out with your kids, it's going to work very well.
Well, and common sense if you're going to any of these goofy parties involving alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. And that's I think that's the one thing that a lot of folks forget is that it's about kids, but there's a lot of party goers at the older age group, and alcohol shows up in a lot of those parties. So it's that's the other thing that shows up for this particular holiday. It's one of the most dangerous DUI evenings of the year.
And now I'm sure you're happy to talk about gas prices since they're going down. I mean, who's to ever say that we only get you on when there's bad news?
There we go. It's I think people are happy about it, but they're probably a little disturbed if they look at Idaho gas prices now. We're the first to say, hey, prices are on the way down. We've seen a 32-cent drop this month, and that's all good news. However, as I look at today's numbers, we're right on the verge. Tomorrow will be the day that the U.S. goes below $3 on average, and here's Idaho today at $3.28. So we're more than a quarter a gallon more, and we don't know if we're going to make the $3 here in Idaho.
Well, we're counting on you, Dave, to make it happen.
Well, I certainly wish and hope that can be the case.
Dave, you take care of yourself. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Dave Carlson joining us from AAA Idaho. Let's get you to try.
We did the mash.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
He did the mash.
Happy Halloween, everyone. Kevin Miller here with you. Of course, big news that broke, what was it, yesterday in entertainment news, Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill that was supposed to open at the Village, not coming to town. Well, Toby, good riddance. You can hit the road and get the heck out of here. You don't want to be here. According to the Statesman via the Meridian Press, the Village terminated its lease with the restaurant and won an eviction case against the business last month. So maybe Toby got the booth. He was supposed to open up, what, last year? Something like that? I don't know. But look, as I tell young people, as I've told myself, you have to go where you want it. You have to want to be somewhere. And Toby Keith may have great music, but we won't be drinking and eating his food. And I have a little personal bias against Toby Keith. We had a run-in once. But even Sean Hannity has had a run-in with Toby Keith. Great musician. Outside of that, you decide. Joining us now is our own ghoul, Ronnie from Caldwell at 580KIDO.
You know, dude, I dare you to say that right to Toby Keith's face, man.
Or would you be a goblin?
I'm a pumpkin?
An elf?
An elf? No, I'm not an elf. You know, maybe I'll be Toby Keith and just walk around and look for you. I can't believe you said that about the old Toby, man.
You know where I'm at. I, you know, you talk a big game.
I know. I am a big game, dude. Oh. That's why I called in. I called in to say TGIR to everybody. Thank God it's Ronnie. And then also, I just wanted to say that I know a lot about Halloween, man. I get into it big time. It's probably my favorite holiday.
Are you a Wiccan?
I mostly do things that are scary. I like to scare the little kids. I even one time scared these kids one time, and I made them pee their pants right on my step on the front door.
That's quite an accomplishment. Maybe you should put it on your resume.
I know, dude. It was funny, man. These little kids, it's like all of a sudden they're like, ah, and then you could see it coming down their leg, and it's like, ha, ah, I gotcha. You know, that year I was Freddy Krueger, man, and that was one of the scariest things ever. But I wanted to give people tips. Here's what's really hot this Halloween. Mostly the girls are going to dress like Miley Cyrus. That's the big thing, the twerking outfit. And then the other thing that the dudes are doing.
Wait a minute. Does this really make sense? Where did you get this from?
These are things that I've been, you know, listening to people around town.
Did we call and ask you to give us Halloween tips?
No, but the other thing that's really hot for the guys this year is it's doing Duck Dynasty, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. We'll put you right up there with the guy from E.
The guy from who?
Did you hear this? Did you hear this coming, Ronnie?
No.
You hear this right now? That means it's time for you to go.
Oh, thanks, dude.
You're welcome, Ronnie. Happy Halloween. Good morning, Dave. Kevin Miller reminding you we'll be here tomorrow. Live local talk about the issues that impact you. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith.